Welcome. Good morning, Barbados. Welcome to Getting Down to Brass Tacks for Wednesday, October 10th. I'm Sanka Price, your moderator for today's program, which concludes at 1:30 p.m. Dennis Johnson is our producer and the first voice you'll hear when you call us at 4341-790. You can also participate via WhatsApp at 266-4862. In the last 24 hours, I have seen three or four videos in which school children, mainly girls, were fighting. I also saw the one yesterday at Tudor Street in which that schoolboy was injured in the abdomen. And it is one thing to read about a violent act that was committed, but it's another to see how the whole incident unfolded and to hear the swear words and the other expressions of the young people involved. To see children, none of them older than 15, just kicking and stomping each other and viciously attacking each other and ripping each other's clothes and swearing the worst possible way. I just can't help but ask myself, how did we get here? I really think that this is one of the issues that we have to address as our society. And we really need to start hearing from the professionals in the field, and maybe they can make some recommendations on what we need to do to get to the bottom of this. On the line, I have the vice president of the Barbados Society of Psychology, and she's also a UWI lecturer. She's an Ayodele Harper. Miss Harper, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was asking the question, how did we get here? Why are these kids behaving in this way? I mean, it's as if they don't have any brought up see.
Well, there are a number of factors that can contribute to that. There's no one factor that you can point out to say this is the definitive point or factor that's contributing to that behavior. But we can start more with the parenting styles. Most people tend to do that, but then there's some parents who are very good parents and still children behave a particular way. So to me, you still have to look at the individual, which is the child, and try to find out what's motivating for that child that causes him or her to engage in the behavior. What's propelling the behavior? What's driving it? What's so important for them to do what they're doing, regardless of the consequences afterwards?
But the thing about it is that when these children get into fights and they maybe arrested, or I shouldn't say arrested, but are held by the police, what happens after that? How are they referred to you to psychologists, or it doesn't go that far? It just goes to
I think in some cases they're normally referred through
juvenile liaison schemes
mm-hmm. also involved. There's a drug education program as mm-hmm. well. And persons are referred if they believe that the persons at juvenile cannot help. And that's how the referral will take place. But in most cases, you will find that the behavior is more pronounced when that individual is exposed to the group, when the members of the group are there to provide that support. However, when you meet the individual on a one-on-one basis, there's a big difference in attitude. You can even get that person to change their behavior to more positive behaviors with counseling or guidance or whatever. But once there's that group support, the group support seems to influence the behavior in lots of ways. And it has to do with the individual's self-esteem, what they consider important, whether it is a degree of similarity between the age, the sex, the status, the prestige, whatever it is. But there must be some commonality there for individuals to actually engage in a behavior. They will also be paying attention to the behavior that is being exhibited by others. So you have a lot of school children finding that, okay, when I engage in this behavior, people are taking my photo and it's being sent around. I become popular, you know, that could be also a propelling factor if you want to become a part of the in-group rather than the out-group. You want to feel a sense of acceptance. Am I going on too much?
No, you're not going on too much. No, because you said take a picture, and when people take photographs of you, become popular. I mean,
yeah. For you, it might not make sense because it's a ridiculous behavior, but you have to ask yourself, what is the individual who's engaging the behavior seeking to gain from it? And in most cases, it is the need for love and belongingness, the need to belong to a group that I can feel comfortable with, somebody, a group that you and I have similarities in. It, we have common problems that I can sit down and talk to you about, that I can't sit and talk to somebody who's more influential, mm-hmm. because they can't relate to me. I'm here and you're there, so there's a difference there. So mm-hmm. they're looking for, as I said, love and belongingness, the need to belong.
So how does the home environment influence this behavior?
Well, it depends on what's going on in the home environment as well. If there's a case of persons who are observing violence as a means of resolving issues in the home, then there's the likelihood that children who observe these things can also develop or, model the same behavior as well. Okay? But we're also seeing that parents are not setting boundaries. I can't say parents are not. Some parents are not in a position to set boundaries, so their parenting styles as well also contribute to the kind of behaviors we see. If we have permissive parenting styles or rejecting, neglecting parenting styles, you would find that persons who have parenting styles, permissive parenting styles, may have children who will just do as they please, and because the parents just give them whatever they want, and when they can't give it to them, there's an issue. Then for the rejecting, neglecting, these are persons who parents are not always around, who don't really care, so they're actually left on their own to fend for themselves. Then we have the latchkey children as well.
The what? Sorry, I didn't get that.
Latchkey. Uh-huh. Yes, these are children who, when they get home, the parents are not there, so they are left on their own to provide for their basic needs. Okay, when you have those things happening, you have children who will go home and watch TV. You don't know what they're watching, so parents are not there to kind of monitor exactly what's happening with their children, so they can get involved in a lot of mischievous activities unless they choose to socialize with a group that have more positive attitudes.
So what would be your recommendations to see if we can get to deal to combat this level of behavior that we're seeing among these young people?
I find, for me, I can only speak on a personal level, in terms of the young people that I tend to interact with, and I try to interact with many young people that people may say there's no future for them. Because I always believe that there's good inside of each and every one of us. We just have to search for it. And just once you find a connection, you can hold on to it and you can mold that child into a in the direction that's more positive and to become the best that he's supposed to be. So for me, it is having a discussion with those children, trying to find out and seeing things from their perspective. How do they see it? Do they have a voice? And I'm not saying that children what I'm trying to say is that we keep saying that children have a voice, and they do have a voice, but I do believe it is not just having a voice and just being able to express things the way you feel any and anyhow without concern about how it would affect others. It's just encouraging them, yes, to have a voice to say what it is that they're experiencing, but it is how they say what they say. So you have to let them know that their guidelines, as much as I would like to talk to you and to help you and stuff like that, their boundaries, you know, you have to set your perimeters, how far they should go. In terms of you adults interacting with them, we need to let them know at the end of the day we're still adults, and we need to be respected, and if they respect us, we will also in turn respect them, but hear what it is they have to say. I just had another thought. It's gone.
All right. Well, look, thank you very much. We are speaking here to the Vice President of the Barbados Society of Psychology, Ayodele Harper. And Ms. Harper was just trying to give us some insight as to why we're seeing this level of behavior, this really bad behavior in those young people that we're seeing in these videos that are circulating. And in the last 24, 48 hours, we've had about four of these videos, and mostly schoolgirls fighting, and the level of anger being exhibited is really horrendous. And I think we also saw the video with the young man who was stabbed and the Moka people stomping him on the ground, other young people stomping him on the ground. It's really, really terrible. And it's something that we need to certainly deal with in our society, because no matter how much debt restructuring or how much we try to reorder our society, the fact about it is that if we don't get what's happening within our society right, it will all come to nothing. Ms. Harper, thank you very much for your time. And we should certainly will like to host you and a few other members of the society a Sunday so that we can really explore these issues fully. Thank you very much.
Yes, because there's so much more to be said. But yes, that would be nice.
All right. Thank you very much. We'll take a commercial break and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Brass Tacks. This is Sanka Price with you, along with Dennis Johnson. Yeah, we may have started on that not-so-good note, highlighting what we're seeing on these WhatsApps and the violence with children. But I want to just read a short thing to you. It's really congratulations to a young man who I saw play football briefly once. And his name is Thierry Gale, and he's 16 years old. He's from St. Leonard's. And he's just signed a 3-year contract to play in Hungary. And we'd like to congratulate him. It's a very positive thing, very positive move. So it demonstrates that all young people are not, on that destructive path. And we should highlight the positive as well as the negative. And we should definitely try to help those who are doing well and try to create more opportunities for them. And for those who are not doing so well, we should try to get them on the right track. So we go to our phone lines. We have the whole board lit up. Good morning. You are on the air.
Good morning, Mr. Price.
How are you today?
I'm fine. It's so intriguing that the program opened the way it did, because I called here this morning based on an article that I would have seen in the paper over the weekend about a place that with the naming of a place in Silver Hill and who name it should be named after and things like this. Mm-hmm. And
it was being suggested that the place should be named after Cassius Clay.
Right.
Yeah.
And I here this morning to support Mr. The article in the paper that was written on clip about Cassius Clay, because the problem is that we are having problems with the young people today. And we need to see and show where, as you would have said a while ago, that all the young people are not bad, but there's some good in some of them. And at the same time, and by the same token, the message that are sent from above and beyond the lower echelons of societies, from the organizations and so on, that you look forward to for guidance and leadership. Now, I would say that Cassius Clay is a role model now for young people in Barbados coming through his upbringing and his life and what he would have went through. And I believe that having somewhere named after him where you can point and show young people, well, look, you see that place is named after so-and-so, but you know, this and so on, and this is what would befall them. And as I am speaking to you now, the reason why I'm saying this, there's a book written on Cassius Clay by K. Native AP Sandyford. And I will advise parents and organizations to go and get a copy of this book and read it and see where Cassius came from, what he would have came through, and the things that he would have did in changing his life and committed not only to himself, but to Barbados and young people. I know Cassius, yes, when he was young, but so we grew up together. But when you read, you would have seen this book, it is from a wharf boy to a role model, and it is intriguing. And therefore, I'm saying that it is time that we to send messages to the young people and let them see that they are part and parcel of this country and what is going on, to start to acknowledge them. Rosa Parks wasn't a doctor, she wasn't a lawyer, she wasn't a politician, she was an ordinary person traveling on a bus. But the whole world knew of Rosa Parks and the role she played in getting black people to be recognized and understood in the United States. And I believe it is time that we start to recognize some of our young people, people such as Cassius, and I would like to see that place going in his honor.
Fair enough.
As being a role model for young people. Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. It's not only Cassius Clay, but, you know, there are quite a few people in our society. I call them unsung heroes. There are people who are in communities or even on the national stage. And I'm thinking here like coaches like Justin Clark and my good friend who wears the glasses, whose name invades me right now. who's at Wabisco and whatnot. Anyhow, but there are quite a few of those coaches and a few other people who have done, who have helped a lot.
Human service for Barbados.
Yeah, and they really, you know, and it's,
and they need recognition.
And they should be recognized. You know, it saddens me that we tend only to doctors. Recognize people doctors. who have done well politically. Right. And some of those, as you like to say, the doctors and the other big ups, but there are right. people within the community who touch a lot of lives, and those people, for me, stand tall because they have made the difference in their community.
Community.
And I can think about some church, some people in some of these small churches that I knew when I was growing up who would have helped people on a day-to-day basis, you know, pulling their own pocket and helping, and also helping to feed children because, you know, of the amount of people who most to feed in different households, and they would have used their own money to help, and I talked about Justin Clark and some of the other coaches,
another hero.
Because you know,
Justin is a hero,
right? And Blackie, who died, you know. But these are people who have done a lot for average people in this country and really ought to be recognized. So I join you and support what you're saying, that we need to start making sure that we recognize these people, because I think that when the average individual recognizes that if they do quote-unquote, the right thing, if they help their fellow man, okay, that they would one day too be recognized for the good that they would have done. Thank you very much for your call, sir. Have a great day. You're on the air. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
Well, in and out, fair to find in a way, but how are you?
I am always good.
Always. Two things are just a little bit over. I wonder why the workers that clean the road, you know, they do a fantastic job. You must admit they work, even though sometimes they lay off a bit, but they do work. Why don't the people come and take up the rubbish? The rubbish is there and it's a rainy season, and the rubbish are going to go back into the drain and in the well. They're asking you to help to clean your surrounding, but the surrounding including outside. and the rubbish all there piled up. I called they called to get help to see if they could come and remove all the rubbish along, and all so far no one has come. Huh? I think it's wrong. You cannot give somebody a job to do and then the work stay there and that, and the rubbish don't move, Mr. Price.
I think that's a systemic problem because 30 years ago we were talking about the same thing. You know, administrations come and administrations go, but the same problem. So it has to be systemic. It is really ridiculous. I agree with you. It's really ridiculous. You would get people who take up the thing onto the gutter, take up all the thing onto the gutter, and you wouldn't believe these sort of trash and everything that comes out from the gutter. No wonder there's flooding so quickly. And then for 2-3 days, sometimes longer, it remains at the side of the road.
Could be weeks, even the tree start growing back in the gutter.
There needs to be a better level of coordination between, those who actually do the cleaning and those who do the picking up of the trash that has been cleaned out of the gutters. It really needs to be done because, well, as you said, it just goes back into the gutters and it just, so you know, you just spend it out in mud. It's a waste of time if that continues.
Because I am worried because whenever it rains heavy, I get rain, you know, it goes bad. They did clean out the gutter, you know, they picked that up. Now they clean they clean out the drain and they get that up because I have to keep calling to get them moving. Now they clean the drain, the sidewalk, and all the thing is still there, all the dirt, all the rubbish. How can you keep your surrounding clean outside when there's all those things still left out there? I am worried about me. That's why I call. I'm worried about my husband and myself because no one else do the calling except me, this Winnie. And I just, because we are worried about the rain when it falls to come into our, you know, our yard and into our house. Mr. Johnson there can tell you for the years now he knows me. I've been calling about whenever the rain falls. And this rubbish out there, now I want it moved.
All right. You have certainly made your appeal. And in fact, while I have you here, just let me congratulate the Ministry of Transport and Maintenance, I think it is called now. I noticed that they have been painting the stops, the lines in the road, a lot of crossroads that they have been doing. And thank you. From there, please move on to the main highway because we really need to see some more of those zebra crossings properly marked, as well as the demarcation lines in the road. So we're looking forward to you to continue your good work. We take a commercial break and we'll be right back.